Today's reading comes from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 to 32. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and ill, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world." Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we can all come here together today, whether we're in person or joining online, Lord. And I just pray for Tim now. I pray that you would bless him as he opens up his word, the word. And I pray that you would really speak to us through him, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Louisa. Good morning, everyone. Great to see you and welcome all those tuning in online as well. Last week, we talked about the weariness that many people are experiencing and how vital it is to have that future hope. You know, that future hope that can sometimes feel a bit like a mountaintop experience that can sustain us. We kind of look ahead and we get perspective. And we realize, wow, all that's coming because Jesus is returning. Isn't that wonderful, what we were looking at last week? But the challenge with the mountaintop is what comes next, because you can't live on the mountaintop, can you? You kind of have to come down into the valley. You have to kind of walk through the day-to-day of life with all its challenges and difficulties. And, the question is, how do you keep going in the valley? How do you kind of go from like Olympic gold, as it were, to day-to-day training with no one watching, no one seeing you? How do you keep going in the real world on Monday morning? That's what this new series, Feasts, Festivals, and Families, it's all about. It's about the resources that God has given us to sustain our faith and to build community together. Things like communion, Sabbath, family, marriage, baptism, and prayer. So if you're struggling with your faith at the moment or struggling with relationships, this is going to be so important, because let's be honest, both those things are often under pressure, aren't they? You know, as we walk with God, we can find that personally, we have all kinds of questions and doubts, don't we? I do. I'm often asking, God, what are you doing? I ask, God, where are you in this? God, why do you feel so distant? Sustaining faith is hard sometimes. And yet sometimes even harder is protecting relationships, especially in the church. I love the church. It's wonderful. But goodness me, we can hurt one another sometimes, can't we? You ever been hurt in the church? Ever done the hurting? Do you know, if you were no to both of those, you probably haven't been part of us for very long. You probably don't need me to tell you, we're far from perfect, and we have an extraordinary capacity to hurt those that we love. We see that perhaps most clearly in our family relationships, don't we? With a spouse or with close family. Even though we love, we can hurt. And we see that in the church too. And yet we know that the church is called to be a light for the world. A people who are known for their kind of radical love for God and for one another. How does that happen? Well, the simple answer is it only happens when God's power gets released among us and when we have a living relationship with God. There can be hurt, but there can also be healing. And that's what these gifts like communion are all about. You know, Paul in verse 23, he says this, "I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." This is a meal that Jesus instructs his followers to have actually until he comes again. And it's a meal that first takes place kind of in the valley. It's on the night he was betrayed. It's at the moment when everything kind of looks at its darkest, where evil's doing its worst, and Jesus shares this meal of hope and power. What is so special about this meal that we're going to share in soon? Well, it's a meal to sustain faith, firstly. You might think, well, how does that happen? Well, clearly it's got something to do with remembrance. If you look, verse 24, see this repetition, "Do this in remembrance of me." Then verse 25, with the cup, again, "Do this in remembrance of me." Why does Jesus need to give his followers a meal to remember him by? I mean, how could they possibly forget all that they've seen, all that he's done? Well, this points to a real danger for God's people. And it's this truth that actually we kind of so often have kind of spiritual amnesia. We forget so quickly. You know, you see this throughout the Bible. You know, God's people, even as they see him do amazing miracles, they so quickly drift away. Even Jesus' disciples following his death, they all kind of slope off back to what they were doing before. And you might think, well, that sounds crazy. But you've probably seen it in your own life. You know, a day can pass, maybe even a week or more, and Jesus hardly gets thought of. And that's bonkers because we know that Jesus is the source of life. And so Jesus gives them this meal so we don't miss the foundation of our life with him. You know, the symbolism of this meal is so powerful. Jesus takes bread at a meal. And it says, and when he had given thanks, he breaks this bread. Says, "This is my body broken for you." Yeah, my life poured out for you. Amazing focus again. Reminder again of the death of Jesus. You might think, well, why do Christians keep coming back to this cross, this death of Jesus? Well, it's because it's the very heart of Christianity. It's the very heart of how we get right with God and with one another. You know, reconciliation is such a huge challenge in our world. There is so much pain, so much injustice. There's simply so much to forgive. You know, and on one level, we don't even want to forgive those who hurt us sometimes, do we? You know, because when you forgive someone, it's painful. In fact, we see the opposite happening in our society. You know, when the social media crowd turns against you, there is no mercy, no forgiveness. But the result of no forgiveness is division. Division everywhere, and we see that at the moment. And Martin Luther King famously said, "He who is devoid of the power to forgive is devoid of the power to love." You know, back in the 19th century, Dostoevsky sees a world in desperate need of forgiveness, and he asks this question. He says, "Is there anyone in all the world, a being that could forgive and have the right to forgive?" It's a great question. Who could do that? Who would have the right to forgive? And as we come to the cross, as we come to Jesus, we discover this one who has this right. Jesus uses this meal, which was originally the Passover meal, to explain what he's come to do. And because of our Better Story series, we probably know a little bit about Passover now. Passover, remember, was all about the liberation and rescue from slavery in Egypt. But it's also the question, how can God's judgment come and fall on Pharaoh, but not on God's people? Because we all do hurting to one another, don't we? We all hurt one another. We all need forgiveness. There is pain that we all cause. And the answer is substitution. That is how they can be forgiven. A lamb dies. The blood is, remember, put on the doorposts, and God's judgment comes and it passes over them so they can go free. And we know that that's a picture of the greater rescue to come. The rescue of Jesus, the perfect Passover lamb, comes to die, and his blood covers and pays the just penalty for our sin. That's what's pictured in the cup. You know, Jesus' blood kind of covering our sin, covering our brokenness, covering all the hurt that we've caused, making forgiveness possible. This is kind of like the once for all sacrifice. This is the blood of the new covenant. This is God's answer to the question, how can forgiveness happen and there be justice? You know, the purpose of communion is that we would never drift any distance from this truth, that we would learn to stand in the forgiveness that is ours in Jesus. But you know, so often Christians, you know, we can begin with the cross. We can begin with this kind of salvation by grace. We go, wow, I'm set free. Wow, I'm forgiven. Wow, I can't believe I've got forgiveness. And then we start there, but then we turn to what can be called a salvation by works as we start to see our relationship with God kind of through the lens of performance. And we start either having pride because we're doing well, or deep guilt and shame because we're failing. And the cross is there, and this meal is there to remind us that our relationship with God was never based on what we've done, but always based on what Jesus has done for us. Amen? Grace. We are reminded we are no longer slaves to sin. We are free, forgiven children of God. No more in condemnation. Wonderful. Forgiven. But it's not just like a kind of a transaction in the heavenly realm. We've got this tick box of forgiveness. Forgiveness is supposed to lead us somewhere. Forgiveness is supposed to lead us into relationship. That's what this meal is about. Jesus says in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I mean, what an amazing invitation. An invitation to have our deepest needs met. Do you want your deepest longings and hungers met? One commentator writes, man is a hungry being, but he is hungry for God. Behind all the hunger of our life is God. Do you notice those kind of insatiable hungers in your life? You know, the way we can kind of run after something, but then you get it and it's not quite what you'd hoped, and then before you know it, you're hungry again. Jesus says, I have food that will satisfy you, food that will last. You know, this meal is not just a kind of mental exercise of remembering. This is supposed to be a meal of encounter. Jesus says, John 6:55, my flesh is real food. He says, this is my body broken for you. I mean, this is truly supposed to be the Lord's Supper with the Lord present. The Lord ministering his grace, feeding our empty souls, is to meet with Jesus in this meal. It's known as a sacrament, which is a symbol or sign where God meets with his people. You know, so often we can be walking around life physically full, but spiritually empty. You know, even as Christians. And Jesus says, look, I want you to be full. There's a meal for you to be full. As Spurgeon says of communion, he says this, surely if we enter it into its true meaning, we may expect to be revived and vitalized. For here we have more than a mere touch of the hand. It is the whole Christ that enters into us spiritually and so comes into contact with our innermost being. You know, we need a living, real, personal encounter with God. You know, we need to be able to taste and touch God. John Calvin wrote, through the sacrament we have access to all the blessings of our union with Christ, because by the Spirit we are lifted up and brought into his presence. What an amazing invitation. Anyone want to meet with the Lord like that? I do. I want to be full. I don't want to be empty. And yet the Corinthians, they managed to have this meal and completely miss its power. You know, we've really missed physically being together, haven't we, over the past 18 months, to be able to share in this meal. They were physically together, but they still missed an encounter with Jesus. Why? Well, it's because they failed to see this second and last thing, that this is a meal to establish community. The Corinthian church managed to make a complete mess of communion, and it results in a terrible warning from Paul. He says that, verse 27, that if you drink and eat in an unworthy manner, you're not free from guilt, you're actually guilty, he says. Verse 30, he says that instead of getting well and being fed through this meal, people are actually being made sick. Some are even dying. It's like, how is that possible? How is it that a meal that is supposed to bring healing and hope and forgiveness and restoration end up bringing God's judgment on God's people? You know, church history reveals all sorts of kind of fallings out, misunderstandings and wrestles with what communion is about. And yet actually, Paul doesn't critique the Corinthians on any of those wrestles. It wasn't that they had wrong liturgy. It wasn't that they were too informal. They were meeting in each other's homes. It wasn't even that they had kind of wrong theology. Look what Paul says, verse 29. He says, they were failing to discern the body of Christ. Failing to discern the body of Christ. There's two possible meanings to that. The first is that could mean simply that they're failing to see others in the church as brothers and sisters in Christ. 1 Corinthians 10, 17 says, we who are many are one body because we all share in one loaf. But they weren't operating as a body. They were terribly divided. They were kind of using this meal just to kind of feed their kind of greed, while the poor amongst them were going hungry. They had a radically kind of individualistic understanding of their relationship with God. And I think this is one of the real weaknesses, actually, for us as modern kind of Christians, is this kind of overemphasis that Christianity is just about me and God. And a failure to see that actually it's just as much about me and one another. It's about this community, this family of God that we're called into. Jesus says we are his body. You know, if we're truly a body, then when we fail to take care of one another, we kind of almost commit self-harm. We are deeply connected. You know, this is a church struggling to be different from the world around them. And this brings us finally to the other possible meaning of failing to discern the body of Christ. And that's the failure to see that their inclusion in this church is only because of the body of Jesus. Only because of the death of Jesus. You need, when you see that Jesus' body broken for you and reminded of that with the bread, There's never any room to look down on anyone, because this says, Jesus had to die for me because I'm a sinner. This said, my sin matters so much that Jesus' life had to be given up. And if you share in this meal, you're saying, well, I'm one of those who don't measure up. I'm one of those who need grace. I'm one of those who need mercy. You know, there's level ground at the cross. Paul says, verse 27, they were guilty of sinning against the body and blood of Jesus Christ. One commentator writes that they were not in the company of those benefiting from his passion, saying, I need mercy, but in the company with those responsible for his crucifixion. Just have a think about the difference between the crowd who shouted, crucify him, and the thief on the cross who said, remember me. What's the difference? Well, the difference is with the crowd, they stand in judgment on Jesus. They see themselves as righteous. They see themselves as good. They have no need of a savior. But the criminal, he recognizes his judgment is just. He recognizes he has failed, that he needs mercy. And so he gets mercy. You know, we have been wearing masks for a lot longer than the last 18 months. You know, in the room we're wearing masks. But actually, do you know, we so often pretend in life, don't we? You know, we pretend our faith is stronger than it is. We pretend our relationships are easier than they are. We pretend sin isn't as serious as it is. That's what the Corinthians did. They weren't coming to this meal for forgiveness. And so God's judgment was coming on them. Amazingly, actually, just to bring them back again, it's described as discipline, verse 32. This meal is a meal for those who are prepared to kind of take off their masks. To say, I need mercy. I need a savior. And I need a relationship with God that's based on what Jesus has done, not on what I do. It requires examination and confession and humility. And when we do that, as one minister writes, God comes to us again and again to nourish, to heal, and dress our deep wounds. You know, this is the basis of our community, of our family. In communion, we're humbled because it's all of grace. It's saying, I'm loved. And I don't deserve it. It's this radical welcome that we receive and that we then extend to one another. You say, I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. I'm loved in a way I don't deserve. I'm going to love you in a way that you don't deserve. And a community of grace is formed. And it's beautiful because it unites people who would never be united. And when the church is like that, it is so powerful. The world steps up and goes, wow, why are you not divided like us? It's not because of our perfection. It's because of Jesus. It's because of what he has done. Do you want to meet with Jesus? Do you want to have your deep hungers satisfied? Do you want to be united with people in grace? This is the invitation of this meal. I'm going to pray. Katie and the band are going to come and help us as we take some time now and prepare for this meal. Prepare for an encounter with Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this meal that reminds us that yes, we are in need of mercy, but you have provided mercy. Lord, you have provided a way. Lord, you have paid the price for our sin. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, help us to come humbly this morning. Help us to examine ourselves, but to do so in view of the cross. Lord, would you come and meet with us? And Lord, would you unite us together? Let's sing When I Survey. We've got a prayer now that we're going to pray. It's a prayer of confession. Let's pray this together. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We're going to continue to worship the Lord. Just feel free to bring your own prayer to God. Feel free to stand if you want, as we sing. Feel free to sit, to kneel. Let's bring ourselves to the Lord. Invite the Lord to draw near. Betrayed, Jesus took bread and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body broken for you." If you're in the building, you'll have a small piece of bread in the top of your cup. If you're at home, do take the bread. Remember, this is a meal for believers. People who want mercy. It's a meal for those who want to believe for the first time as well. Maybe some doing that. Jesus is here and he wants to meet with you. Take your bread and let's eat together. In the name of Jesus, let's eat. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord, we need you, as we sang. Lord, for those who need your healing, Lord, we pray, pour out your healing. Perhaps if you're just in need of healing at the moment, just put your hands out in front of you to receive. Lord, come and restore, Lord Jesus. Lord, breathe your life afresh into your people. Lord, for those who are hungry, who need more of you, Lord, we pray, pour out your Spirit, fill to overflowing. Lord, for those who are weary, for those who are sad, would you bring your joy of salvation? Would you lift weary hearts? Come, Lord Jesus. Just invite the Lord to minister to you right now in the stillness. After supper, he took the cup. He said, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." This is the cup that covers us. It's the cup as we drink together, we remember, unites us. Let's drink in his name. Lord, we thank you for the power of your blood. Lord, we thank you that there is power to reconcile the irreconcilable. Lord, to heal that which feels beyond healing. And Lord, you can do that in anything, but Lord, you can particularly do that in relationships. And so, Lord, we want to just pray at this meal, Lord, that we would experience reconciliation where reconciliation is needed. Lord, we pray that not just for our church, but we pray that across the churches. Lord, would you unite your body? Lord, would you give us power to love our neighbor as ourselves? Power to love. Lord, we can't summon that up from within. We need you to pour in that we might pour out. Lord, bring hope where there's the absence of hope. Come, Lord Jesus, keep working amongst us.